Good morning to everyone. Good to see everyone here this morning. If you do have your Bibles, if you will turn to Matthew chapter 16, scroll over or, click to the book of Matthew chapter 16. And we'll be looking at a few things from this particular chapter and verses that are expressed in connection to Jesus's conversation with the disciples. And as you notice, the context of the passages in reference to what's going on, Jesus and his disciples are around Caesarea of Philippi. And in that, what you see is he asks the question, whom do men say that I am? And so they gave a list of all the things that were, all the names that were said of him, Elijah and so forth. And then Jesus says, whom do you say that I am? And that's a very personal question that is being asked in reference to what he is doing. And so now they got to, what do I say? Whom do I believe that he is? And then Peter's response was, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, many of us, we have heard these passages, we've studied them, and there's a lot to be said in reference to them. We live in a world where there's a lot of information that is out there, and a lot of that information is not true. And so we struggle trying to figure out what is right and what is wrong. But what has remained constant has been God's Word. It has always been constant. It will always be true. It will never change. It doesn't matter how much information is out there in reference in our society, whether you're trying to figure out who is telling the truth or not, you can always go to the Word of God and you will find out that it is the truth. And this is what Peter has expressed when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, upon that fact, upon that truth, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevent it or overpower it. In other words, death itself will not stop me from building my church upon the truth that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. In fact, his death and resurrection proved him to be the Son of God. And so we start out in the thoughts that were expressed there in those passages of Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 19, and that was the church that Jesus built. What about that church? The first thing that we talked about was that that church is the kingdom of God. Because it's built on the Christ, who is the King, and Christ has made those who believe that to be priests. Not only that, but a kingdom of priests to his God. And that's what we see in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16, verse 6, and also in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. And then we also looked at this concept or the point that is also expressed in the scriptures of the church Jesus built as the temple of God. Now remember, the kingdom of God is focusing on the rule and reign of God. The temple of God is focused on the worship of God. It's associated with that. And throughout the scriptures, you can see temples that were built and made in reference to the worship of gods. And in particular, especially as Jesus is with his disciples, and especially in that area of Caesarea, there were temples that were built to pagan gods. But this temple that Jesus has built, its focus is going to be the worship of him. And that's what we discussed in our last discussion in reference to these thoughts. And I want to continue to talk a little bit more about this temple concept of worship. I want you to notice with me 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It is there that the Apostle Peter writes to the Christians, preparing them to suffer and to maintain their focus in serving and worshiping God. So in those verses, he says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him that you may who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." In the temple concept that is expressed in these passages concerning the church Jesus built in reference to worship, notice what Peter points out: a royal priesthood. Now, if we think back in the Old Testament, we clearly see what was going on back there concerning the temple, where God had instructed them to build the tabernacle. And as we've been discussing in our studies in the book of Hebrews concerning Jesus' high priesthood, that the priests were appointed by God, and they were from the tribe of Levi, to serve in the tabernacle. They had everything to do with the worship of God, the sacrifices that were made. And then the high priest goes into the most holy place and he offers the blood of bulls and goats on behalf of the people once a year. So notice its focus is on worship. And this priesthood that Peter is referring to, that the church is, and that we are, those who recognize the reign or the authority of Christ and are obedient to His will, we have been made suitable. We have been made suitable. We are of royalty. We have priestly duties in worshiping God. Again, that same language that Peter uses is also expressed over in Exodus chapter 19. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, what you have is the points that Peter is bringing out from those passages. Turn over there with me and notice what God said about the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, the same language of God setting up His people that they were to worship Him according to the standards and the prescribed worship that He gave to them. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, and He says, "And you shall be to Me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And these are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." And then God further goes on to give the prescribed worship that is to be done to Him. Unlike the pagan worship in their temples, they worship according to what they thought what would please the gods. That's how they worship in the pagan temples. But when it comes to the temple of God and this royal priesthood, we worship according to the prescribed instructions given from God. There's a big difference. The pagan worship is based upon what I feel and what I think, or whatever someone who is the leader of that prescribes to the gods. But when it comes to the true and living God, it was God prescribing to the worshipers, those who would worship Him in truth or in spirit, were God's instructions. They were coming from Him. And as Peter pointed out there in 1 Peter 2 in verse 9 and 10, to proclaim the excellencies of God. If we do not worship according to God's prescribed method, or instructions, our worship ends up being in vain. And that's what's pointed out there in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. Our worship must be according to God's instructions. God's prescribed instructions. In John chapter 4, do you remember with Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well? There's something that we usually overlook, we don't talk much about, but there is a very important point that is brought to the attention of this discussion with the Samaritan woman. Jesus points out to her that he is the one that can give her the water that will quench her thirst, that leads to everlasting life. And the ones who would drink of his water, as he says, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, in reference to the physical water. But the water that he is going to prescribe or brings about is water that springs to eternal life. And she desires this water. But notice the point that he brings out to her in connection to them worshiping in this mountain. In verse 2, let's drop down. Let's look at verse 7. Missed the verse here. Verse 20, excuse me. Drop down to verse 20. As the woman talks about her father's worship in this mountain, and then she says, you people say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Notice what Jesus says to her. Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. Verse 22 in particular. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. What's the point here? They were worshiping, as she proclaimed, but they were worshiping what they did not know. They didn't know what God's prescribed instructions of worship towards him was. And because she, or they didn't know, the Samaritans, they ended up worshiping God in vain. You see, the Jews were given instructions on what they needed to do in worshiping God. God gave that law through Moses to the children of Israel. And that's why Jesus says, we know. In 2 Kings chapter 17... to further point this out, to show that they did not know in reference to worshiping God. The Assyrians, as the empire at this time, in 2 Kings chapter 17, when they went about conquering nations, what they would do is they would displace those nations and take them to another area. And then they would bring in other people into the area that they had conquered, different people to dwell there. And this is what the Assyrians had done in reference to Samaria. And I want you to notice some things that are pointed out here in these passages concerning the Samaritans and how this came about, that they did not know what they were worshiping. And it points out in these verses, in this placing here, that they possessed Samaria and they lived in its cities. In verse 25, and at the beginning of their living there, they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations whom you have carried away into exile in the cities of Samaria do not know the custom of the God of the land. Now notice, they didn't know the custom. They didn't know what God had prescribed in reference to worship. And because of that, there was no fear towards God. And God sends these lions that are killing them. And so, what they do, here's the solution. Then the king of Syria commanded, saying, take there one of the priests whom you carried away into exile, and let him go and live there, and let him teach them the custom of the God of the land. Do you see that? When Jesus told the woman at the well that they worship what they didn't know, in other words, they were following their own prescribed way of worshiping God. She needed to learn the truth of the matter. And Jesus was beginning to point that out to her when he says there was a time coming when they will neither worship in this mountain, but they would be worshiping according to spirit and truth, following God's prescribed method. And so this temple of God concept here is our focus is on knowing what God prescribes of us in worshiping Him. And when we do that, our worship will not be empty. Our worship will not be useless. It will be approved of God. And we know what we will be right. We will not be teaching the doctrine of men. So the temple of God knows God's requirement of worship. And we continue to grow in fulfilling God's desire. And that's the focus of the temple of God, in worshiping God according to His instructions. Now let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and notice something else in regards to the church that Jesus built. He says, a holy nation. A holy nation. That term, nation, comes from our Greek word, ethnos. Ethnos is referring to a multitude belonging together. It is about nationality. It's not focused on color. It's focused on nationality. In fact, when you look at the book of Exodus in chapter 12, you will see in verse 38 that there was a mixed multitude that left Egypt. And then when you get down to verses 43 through 49, you get the instructions on how they were to observe the Passover. The foreigner could not participate in this. The stranger could not. However, if there was one that was sojourned with Israel, they had to make sure that the males were circumcised. And in that circumcision aspect was this covenant relationship that the sojourner would be entering into that God had established with Abraham back there in Genesis chapter 17. They were then allowed to observe the Passover. And there we're told in Exodus, there was one law for the native and one law for the stranger that sojourned with them. And so you got this mixed company that is sojourning with Israel, and as they follow this covenant agreement that was made, that one law they would be observing. And they needed to also focus on the fact that they were following God's prescribed instructions. In Isaiah chapter 2, we had looked at this a while back. I want you to notice the information, again, from these passages that Isaiah is pointing out to the prophecy that is going to take place. This prophecy would be that God, the mountain of the house of the Lord, is going to be established as the chief of the mountain. I want you to notice in particular there the rest of that passage. And will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Every ethnos, all the ethnos will stream to it. Verse 3, many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways. So what we have here is these many nations, these peoples, becoming, or from all walks of life, being made into one holy nation. This, brethren, in our modern times, you know how people say, we should not be going over to other countries and nation building. This is truly nation building here. The many nations into one holy nation. All ethnos, all nationality, telling us that God's people, or this church that Jesus built, is universal in scope. Everyone has the opportunity to be a part of this nation. And that's important for us to understand when we're looking at these passages. Exodus 12:38, Isaiah 2, and here Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 19. And we clearly see this. These are the passages that Brother Gene read. Let's go back there and notice again this same concept of this holy nation. Many nations, many peoples being made into one. Prior to this, you had the nation of Israel that God had chosen, through whom the Christ would come through. Now that the Christ has come, now that Christ has died for the sins of mankind and has been raised from the dead, he is now king. Now this holy nation that he has made into a kingdom of priests now, of many peoples, it was Jew and now Gentiles together. And that's what Ephesians chapter 2 verses 11 through 19 is pointing out. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. The commonwealth of Israel. And you were strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off, that would be the Gentiles, that would be the nations, in contrast to the nation of Israel, or the Jews. But because of Christ, they are now brought near by the blood of Christ. They're no longer excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. They're now going to be made into one. And so Paul continues to point this out to them. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. This is Isaiah chapter 2, verses 3, 2 and 3, being expressed here, pointing out in reference to the mountain of the house of the Lord being established as the chief of mountains, where all nations are flowing to it. And then he goes on and he points out, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that he himself, he might make the two into one new man, establishing peace. This is this holy nation that Peter is reminding brethren of who they are. They are this holy nation. This is the church that Jesus built. It is universal. It is a holy nation. People from all walks of life now are made one in Christ Jesus. And it is God's culture, God's teaching of His ways that makes us this holy nation. As we observe God's prescribed instruction of worship, it will be acceptable to God. We will be fulfilling our priestly duties. That's what's being brought to our attention. That's why these things are so important. In recognizing that God is the one who has established this. Anything else is going to be insufficient. We are being described here as we are faithfully following the Lord. If you have not been cleansed of your sin, you're not of this holy nation. You are the outsider. You are the stranger. You are the foreigner. But you can be made into this one holy nation that has been built by the Lord when you obey the gospel. You become a part of it. You become of this new man. Peace being established in your relationship with God. And as you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, each of us, as we are working together, fulfilling our priestly duties of worship to God, we will have that peace with each other because we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. But notice something else that you go on to see in connection not only to this holy nation, not only to this temple of God whose focus is worshiping God according to His prescribed instruction. God being in the authority, God in authority, God ruling, God reigning, and telling us what to do. But becoming of this holy nation, as Paul continues to point out in these verses, verse 18, for through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. I want you to notice what's going on. He's going to give us additional information here about this holy nation being made into one. We have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens here with the saints and are of God's household. You see that? We're of God's household. And that's what you see in these passages. And these other passages point these things out. When he talks about the Father, it's now adding into the point of a family mentality, the house of God, the dwelling place for the Lord. And in this dwelling place, it's not so much about the physical, but the spiritual. It is the family concept. And in the family concept, there are responsibilities that we have. There are responsibilities when it comes to the worship of our priestly duties. There is the responsibilities that we have as this holy nation to make sure we're following the Lord and that we're reaching out and encouraging all from every walk of life to become a part of God's holy nation. part of this family. Now, the family responsibilities. First of all, we have the access, as he points out there in verse 18. And as this family concept further comes into play, there are rules to be followed. I want you to notice something that is very interesting about all of this. When we look at the kingdom of God, there is the rule and reign of God. When we look at the temple of God, there are the prescribed instructions from God of how he wants to be worshipped. And when we talk about the holy nation, we must submit ourselves to Christ Jesus to be made into this one new man, to get rid of our sins according to his instructions. And now the house concept comes with rules and responsibilities as well. And it is expressed again throughout the scriptures. In fact, this could be part of that series that started about the authoritative words of God. Because that's what you're seeing here over and over again, is the authority of God. As I pointed out, in this world that we live in, so much information that is out there. And there are those who are very religious in their worship of God, but they don't know what God has instructed on how to worship him. And so they end up having their own prescribed list of how to worship him. And what has happened a lot of times, we have been made to feel ashamed of the way that we worship God. No, let's not be ashamed of that. Let's rest firmly in what God says by worshiping him according to his instruction, and be settled on that. Don't be shamed into doing something other than the rule that God lays down in his house, in fulfilling the responsibilities. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, or verse 8, excuse me, Paul is talking to Timothy about the widows being taken care of. And he brings to their attention in regards to the responsibility that children have to their parents. And even in the context of this, he mentions grandchildren as well. That's the family concept here. And if a family member doesn't take care or provide for their family, they are worse than an unbeliever. That's how important this family concept is. That follows the rules of God. We are told in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, to do good to all men, but especially to the household of faith. Why? Because it is the house of God. And God has laid down the rules of how we are to conduct ourselves and helping each other. After all, we are this holy nation. After all, we are recognizing this is worshiping God because we are taking his instructions to heart and following them. It becomes acceptable as we do it God's way. But Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 14. In these passages, we see what God's responsibility is to his household. And that is disciplining. And so we learn from God of how important disciplining is. And the aspect of discipline is instructive and also corrective. And as we follow God's pattern, we will be exemplifying love. That's what the Hebrew writer is pointing out from these passages. When we receive chastening from the Lord, He is dealing with us as His children. And that chastening, again, is instructive. And then when we fail to follow the instructions, there is the correction that's being given. And that's a part of love. And so, as he is speaking to the Hebrew Christians, he is letting them know that the challenges that they are facing, the struggles that they are going through, is God's chastening of them to help them to realize that they are giving up on something that is better and far greater. And that they need to return to Him before it's everlasting too late. Not to give up on their confidence, but to hold on tightly to it. And even as you're going through the challenges in the chastening, it is helping you to develop a healthy outlook concerning God. That He loves you. He doesn't want you to leave Him. He is disciplining you so that you may reach the reward of eternal life. And Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 14 is bringing that to the attention of the Hebrew Christians, and it is also brought to our attention because we are of the household of God, built on Christ, God's love towards us. This is the church Jesus built. This is the church of what it's all about. To turn away from the church that Jesus built is to walk away from God. Sure, you may feel good as you follow your own method or someone else's method of worship. You may feel good for a time. But understand, it will be vain worship to God. You will be walking away from the household of God, ignoring His disciplining of you, and miss out on the eternal glories that He has prepared for those who are faithful. This will always be true, no matter what time it is. No matter what is going on in our society, this is true. It will always be true. It will never change. Even if you find the majority of people who don't believe, this always be true. It's about that holy nation. It's about the house of God. This is the church Jesus built. The encouragement is to become a part of that holy nation. The encouragement is to be born in the house of God. Born into it. And the only way that you can be born into it is by your obedience to the gospel. For everyone. It doesn't matter your ethnos. It doesn't matter. God wants you of His house. How do I know that? He provided Jesus to die for us. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the church that you built. Thank you for the opportunity to become a part of it. to be of this holy nation, being made in one, so that we could serve you according to your instructions. Thank you for the household concept, to help us to realize, Lord, even though our physical families may forsake us, but we have a family with you. Help us, Lord, to be comforted by such things. Help us to realize that this is the best, that we may walk with you, that we may take opportunity and advantage of this access that we have to you as our Father, to ask you to be with us through the times that we struggle, through the times when we receive your blessings, that we will always recognize that they flow from you, and that we will praise you throughout the days that we live. Be with us all, Lord, and be with those who don't know about these things but are learning, that they will take advantage of it before it's everlasting too late. We pray these things through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Outside of Christ, you are a foreigner, you are a stranger, you're in sin. And the only way that you can make or establish this relationship with God, it has to be done on His terms. You have to have faith in Him, because He's the one that has set these things up. He's made it possible. And without this faith in Him, we can't please Him. But if we have faith in Him, that means we're going to do what He's required of us. And that is to repent of our sins. We're going to turn away from sin, because sin is what separated us from God in the first place. It destroyed the relationship. Now we turn to Him. He wants us to confess Him as Lord, that He is the ruler, He is the master. Remember the kingdom of God concept. The household, He is the Father. The holy nation, He still reigns, He rules. Confess Him as Lord. And this is all involved in all of this. And then be baptized. That's where our sins are washed away. And as our sins are washed away, we are now, as we are born into the family of God, we're also born into this holy nation of God, because we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, and now we are of Him, learning of His ways, walking in His path. And because of that, we have salvation. We're Christians, we're born again, family of God. That's where all these terms and concepts are coming from after one obeys the gospel of Christ. And as we continue to live faithfully, heaven will be ours. That's what God wants for us. The question is that what you want? If you want that, all those things are made possible. And they can be taken care of this morning. All things are ready. We're here to help. We're here to assist. Because we strive to do good to all men, especially the household of faith. So encouragement for you is to become part of God's household. If you're subject to the invitation, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that is indicated.